Hello and welcome. You're watching Tip TV Finance with me, Jenny Hammond and Zach Mitt. And joining us in the studio is John Mills of JML. John, how are you doing today?
Okay, nice to be back.
Good. So let's start off with Snapchat. It's been dominating the news of late. So let's look at that. Investors see Snap's IPO is too big to fail. Institutional investors anxious not to be left out of this year's marquee's initial public offering helped Snap Inc. pull off the biggest U.S. listed technology share sale this week since Chinese e-commerce juggernaut Alibaba Group Holding Inc. So what do you make of this? Too big to fail. That's quite a statement.
I think it is quite a statement, and there's been other cases of too big to fail which didn't turn out to be right.
Yeah, murmurings of the dot-com bubble.
I agree. I mean, this is all very reminiscent to me of the dot-com boom and all these ventures which actually had no real profit flow coming through that was in sight anyway. I mean, if you look at the Snap situation, I mean, there's enormous amount of usage of their technology, but no revenues, no positive revenues, no profitability.
But it's it is a brand. I mean, it's a world known brand now, which has a value, just being a name. The metric of valuation is on the users, so it's $200 a user or $100 a user, whatever newfangled way they look at it. And we've had precedent. You know, we've had, you know, Amazon make money for years, and Facebook, you know, it was dodgy at the beginning. It could work still.
It might, but I must say, I don't think the prospects are all that favourable. I mean, if you look at the number of dot-com ventures there were, I mean, some of them in the end did succeed. Amazon did, but the vast proportion of them, or an awful lot of them, didn't.
With so it becomes down to, again, that too big to fail, being so big in your particular sector that you actually... You cannot fail because, you know, you've thrown enough money at marketing and expansion.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying they couldn't go on growing. The problem really is monetizing what they're doing, actually generating revenue from what's happening. And at the moment, the amount of revenue that Snap is generating is very low.
Do you think it opens the doors for other unicorns to float, perhaps?
Maybe. I mean, what happened during the dot-com boom was people came up with all sorts of really very weak ideas, but there was such a fervor behind tech companies or dot-com companies in those days that people just invested in them. In the end, of course, reality caught up with them all. And I suspect this is going to happen in a lot of these cases here.
And my concern with Snapchat is, of course, it thrives off the narcissism of the selfie generation. And as soon as parents start blocking their kids from using this, because let's face it, you know, it's really the sort of young teenagers who are using Snapchat. I know you're a fan, Zach, but you might
they're
be
not
the
sharing.
Only 50-year-old.
I don't think they're sharing works of art from the National Gallery.
No.
Exactly. So, you know, it only takes a few parents to stop it, and then it's not good. Just so anyway, moving
the other
on
thing,
to the
thing, yes, so the LSE, Deutsche Börse, seems to be... It's dead in the water, really, isn't it? It was dead as soon as there was the Brexit vote.
Well, I think it was Brussels blocking the whole thing that really put the lid on it. I mean, I really don't think they ought to be selling assets like this anyway. So, I mean, I think there are sort of public interest tests that need to be applied to this particular takeover. But I don't think it's going to go ahead.
So the Stock Exchange Group said today it was continuing to work hard to win approval for its planned merger with Deutsche Börse at a €29 billion, which is $31 billion deal, now widely seen as doomed. So,
well, I think it was doomed because, you know, now they can't even. Where are the headquarters going to be? You've got all these issues like that. Mm. So you're effectively, before it was in one country, let's say, now it's going to be in two, and it's a mess. But my main problem is that, you know, politicians interfering with business, it's always a disaster. I mean, a politician and a regulator should not be in these things. It should be to do with the companies themselves to sort things out. On this MTS condition from Brussels, I mean, why are they interfering?
Like,
well, I don't really agree with that. I mean, it does seem to me that the private interest of the investors here might be quite different from the public interest of the public at large. And, you know, I think that selling off all these companies that we've done over the years may be in the interests of the investors in these companies and certainly in the interest of the city that got paid large fees for doing it. But what's necessarily in the interest of the British people as a whole?
Yeah. OK, so let's move on to the slides now. So most popular in business and finance, Mike Ashley's deal for Agent Provocateur slammed by firm's co-founder. So he has quite an interesting taste when it comes to buying companies. What do you make of this, John?
Well, I don't know what's going to happen here. I mean, the business he's got has run into all sorts of difficulties, as we know. I mean, whether it's sensible to go out on this sort of acquisition trail on a completely unrelated business I don't know. I think we'll just have to
wait. £31 million is quite a price tag for a struggling company.
It seems to me it's just a publicity stunt. I think it's Mike Ashley just enjoying himself. He's in the papers. For him, it's probably worth it for a few days. You know, £31 million is keeps him in the limelight. Whether the business works or not, probably not. It's just pocket change for him.
Yes, I mean, Mike Ashley's been very successful in commercial terms over the years. I mean, he's not somebody I think who'd do something completely capriciously like this. Mm. But I must say, it is hard to see what the kind of commercial logic is.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on. So we have someone should tell UK bonds their friends are leaving. What do you make of that?
Well, this is all to do with interest rates going up and, as a result, bond prices falling. Mm. I think interest rates probably will creep up. I mean, the inflation rate's going up a little bit, as we know. The United States seems to be very determined to get interest rates hiked up a bit over the coming period, and this will hit bond prices.
Absolutely. Okay, next slide. So Snap Inc. shares launched yesterday on the New York Stock Exchange. We've already covered that, but the Venice, California-based social media system for sharing photos has 161 million daily users. An indicative offering price of US$17 quickly saw shares explode to over $25 and settle at $24.48 last night. This must raise questions as the analysis used by those valuing the company, the reliability of supporting accounts, and the amount of cash stashed on the sidelines looking for safe investments. Well, let's move on to the next slide because we've talked about that. So the economic calendar looking a little bit light there, but the Fed's Chair Yellen's speech, what do you think will come out of that?
Well, I think there's going to be more talk about interest rates creeping up, about trying to ease back on quantitative easing and trying to get back to some sort of normality. I think that's going to be the real thrust of that speech.
Yeah. Okay, let's see the next slide. So, Zach, FX sentiment, what's exciting you there?
I suppose the stand-up for me there, dollar-Canadian, I think went up to 133, 134 as well. So people guessing that that's the top of the range there for that. Interesting, well, on euro-dollar, it's all about, I suppose, the French elections at the moment, and it's more of a Le Pen barometer rather than anything else. But 105 so far holding, but above 105, you'd say that Le Pen is not going to win, and below maybe you'd say she is. So that's the market giving an indicator there, a polling figure. And then on, I think probably for me, the Australian dollar, big fall yesterday. And it's now falling, I think, along with, because of the interest rate outlook in the US, commodity prices down, Australian dollar down. So Australian dollar down, so that we're seeing that as well.
Okay, let's move on. So the trade of the day, Zach.
Centrica, British gas owner, I've been in a range recently. I think that it's probably fair to say that £2 a share looks to be the floor. I probably myself wait for £2.40 to be broken maybe before going for that. But the objective here is a push towards the higher end of the range at £2.36.
Okay, is our final slide, the broker recommendations.
Yes, it would appear that Jefferies got their call on Evraz a bit wrong with the target there. The old target, 100 pence, now up to 150, so a bit of an egg on face there. International Consolidated Airlines, overweight at Barclays, and it's been the better. It's done better compared to the Ryanair's and EasyJet's in the near term. So that looks overweight looks correct. And then AB Foods, the Primark owner, buy at Liberum, still continues to be quite a high street phenomenon, I would say. Primark.
Super. Zach, John, thank you. Our guest today, John Mills from JML, and coming up next, our proactive investor shares of the day.